First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't generate amusing holiday cards. But it will personalize career paths for your people and let you know which suppliers are best, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology. Real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, September 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Technology has come for so many things in our lives. Now it could help deal with the stink from your kitchen trash can, but for a hefty price. We'll tell you more. And then, NVIDIA already dominates the market for chips powering the artificial intelligence boom. Now the company is playing a growing role in designing AI data centers. Our reporter Asa Fitch will join us to explain what the company is doing and how it's trying to offset regulatory risks. But first, in the summer months, food scraps in your garbage might really smell. You could try cutting down on your food waste. Or, like our personal technology bureau chief, Wilson Rothman, you could try a new device called the Mill Food Recycler. For $1,000 or a $30 a month rental plan with a buyout option, this trash can can fight the garbage stink and reduce what makes it to landfills. So, is it worth it? Wilson is here with us. So, Wilson, tell us about the Mill Food Recycler and how does it work?
It looks like a trash can, and you throw your food waste in there, you know, the scraps from your kitchen or the leftovers from your plate, and it heats them up, churns them around for 3 to 4 hours, and out comes something that looks like coffee grounds but smells more like dog treats.
Okay, so you said you can put your food waste in it. Can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly can and can't go in?
Obviously, any fruit peels or like peach pits and things like that that come when you're just snacking or whatever, those can all go in. Anything you're chopping on your cutting board usually is going to be able to go in. Pizza crust that the kids don't want to eat, the stuff like that. You get into a little more trouble when you get into bones, like you can put chicken bones in, but you can't put like big beef bones like that or like a leg of lamb. Oyster shells are not cool to put in there. You don't want to dump a lot of liquid or a lot of oil in there, or you don't want to put an overload of like sugary stuff like cakes or cookies. But the app is really super useful. It's got a really fun little library where you can look up any food in the world and see whether it can go in or not.
So describe what this looks like a little bit for us. Is it just really a smart trash can sitting in your kitchen corner?
It just looks like a trash can. It's like a nice little white thing that you step on with your foot and the lid pops open and you dump your stuff in. When you look inside, you know something's up because it doesn't go all the way down. It ends about a third of the way down and you see these two kind of plastic little propellers in there that kind of churn the food around when it's doing its cycle. So you definitely know once you add something that it's not your average trash can.
And you mentioned the app. What does that do?
So, you know, like other smart devices of our times, you can use the app to turn it on and stop it and do other things. Like it weighs all the scraps that I add, essentially. So what I know is after 2 months, I have turned 74 pounds of my family's food waste into 14 pounds of these dried up grounds.
Okay, so what happens with all those grounds you've created?
The company will take them off your hands. They actually will provide, for a $10 a month subscription, they will provide boxes with little bags inside where you can just dump all your grounds in the bag, zip the bag, close the box, and mail it back. That is convenient, although I don't like the price, especially because my family has not produced enough to use it monthly. So what the company says you can do is if you are a gardener, you can use it as fertilizer. You can use it to fertilize your lawn. It is not compost, but you can also dump it into a compost pile and make it compost. But when it comes out of there, it's really something you don't want to use as kind of soil.
I mean, the point of the mill, and I guess even, you know, composting at home, is to reduce how much food waste goes into the trash. How big of a problem is this in the U.S.?
It's huge. It makes up about a quarter of what goes into a landfill, and that is the single largest component of what goes into landfills. And the bigger issue is we don't really have anything better to do with it than put it in a landfill. So 60% of our food waste goes to the landfill right now.
All right, that was Wilson Rothman, the Wall Street Journal's Personal Technology Bureau Chief. Coming up, we'll tell you what NVIDIA is doing to become a one-stop shop for the key elements in the data centers where AI is produced. That's after the break.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't help you generate cubist versions of your family's holiday photos. But it will help you understand which supplier is best to help you roll out your plant-based packaging in Southeast Asia, or identify the training your junior project manager needs to rise up the ranks, and automate repetitive tasks while you focus on big innovations, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
NVIDIA's chips are essential to powering tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT. The company has an estimated 80% of the AI chip market share. But its CEO, Jensen Huang, is broadening NVIDIA's focus. He's talked about becoming a one-stop shop for what he calls AI factories, the data centers where these powerful tools are created and deployed. Here to tell us more about these efforts is our reporter, Asa Fitch. So Asa, how is NVIDIA going about this expansion?
The company has built up its portfolio of services and products, like hardware chips, in data centers for a number of years. They made some acquisitions, like they bought a company called Mellanox for about $7 billion a few years ago that is centered on networking, the sort of wires and other infrastructure that connects these things together, very important for doing things quickly in AI. They've done other things, like they've built up their capabilities in designing the infrastructure itself, the cabinets, the servers, the racks, the things inside of data centers that people put the computing power into.
And how do customers feel about NVIDIA trying to take this approach?
I mean, a lot of customers like it because it means that if one company, NVIDIA, can do more within the data center, essentially, they can basically supply more of a turnkey solution. And a lot of people like that in the context of the current AI boom where speed really matters. Getting something in there quickly is paramount. And NVIDIA, because it offers so many things within the data center, can typically do things very quickly. Or you can do more faster if you choose NVIDIA than perhaps one of its competitors. That's contrary to how things might work in a more mature market where people are more concerned about what costs less. What way can I do things that are much more tailored to my own needs and don't necessarily use everything from one supplier? So we're at a moment right now where NVIDIA has this opportunity to play more of a central role in all of the things that go into the data center beyond just its chips.
And how are rivals responding to NVIDIA's plans for expansion?
A lot of rivals are responding by essentially trying to do the same thing, offering more services and products and things like that within the data center. So you have companies like AMD, which recently bought a company called ZT Systems, or agreed to buy that company for almost $5 billion. And they're going to strip out the data center design portion of that business. They basically help people figure out how to set up their data center infrastructure, how to build it, essentially.
So what are some of the challenges to this approach?
Well, the risk for NVIDIA really is that the market does mature and there is more competition in these individual areas, whether it be networking, data center design, any other area where NVIDIA has tried to make a broader push. If those areas become individually competitive and people aren't moving quite as fast, they don't have this need to get their computing for AI set up yesterday, NVIDIA is in less of a powerful position. There's no indication that's happening yet, but analysts I've talked to say that's a risk looking forward for NVIDIA in pursuing this kind of vertical strategy.
And what about regulatory concerns?
Those concerns are in their infancy, but they could play a big role in the way that NVIDIA's business shapes up looking forward. Regulators have started to look at the company carefully. They've raided its offices in France last year. It should be said that there have been no charges brought against the company, but NVIDIA has a dominant market share in the provision of AI chips, and there is growing concern among regulators around the world that it is getting to a point where it should be investigated, at least on antitrust grounds, Nobody knows at this stage where that's going to go, if it's going to go anywhere. But if NVIDIA is out here building up a bigger portfolio of businesses and types of products that it's using to help people create these AI factories, if you will, that could potentially make it more vulnerable to those kinds of concerns, or make those concerns more amplified.
And what is NVIDIA doing to offset these concerns?
You know, the company has been very clear that it's not going to do everything. And it doesn't really make sense financially for the company to do everything, because there are parts of this business that are quite low margin. So one area where they're not doing everything is in actually building up the servers that these AI chips go into. So they give people reference designs, but they're not actually producing those things for people. So that's one example of something that NVIDIA has stopped short of fully producing and supplying it.
That was our reporter, Asa Fitch. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Zoe Culkin with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't generate amusing holiday cards, but it will personalize career paths for your people and let you know which suppliers are best, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.